praise the Lord. Stand tonight. The song that we are going to sing here just talks about the presence of the Lord. And I don't know about you, but you can find no better place to be than in the presence of Almighty God. And tonight, I certainly trust Him that He will come and visit us in only a way that He can. But let's just get the words to this song. And amen, if you've never heard it, we'll teach it to you tonight. But just be sincere as you sing it. Let's just welcome the presence of the Lord in this place.
There is nothing worth more can ever come close. Nothing can compare. You are living home. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome. Your presence, Lord. Oh, your presence, Lord.
First verse.
There is nothing worth more can ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, say. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, and my heart becomes free, and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Everybody, Holy Spirit, say, Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Come flood this place and feel the atmosphere. Your glory, God, your glory, what our heart long for, to be overcome. Come on, Holy Spirit, say, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and feel the atmosphere. Oh, your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your breath. Holy Spirit, say, you are welcome. Yeah. is what our heart long for, to be overcome. Lord, your presence, Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, give him praise in this place tonight. We want to be overcome by your presence, Jesus. We want to be overcome by your presence, oh God. Hallelujah. Come on, worship him tonight. Create an atmosphere in this place tonight. Let the Spirit of God have his way in this place tonight. God, we invite you to have the preeminence. Take control of this service. Take control of our hearts. Take control, God, tonight in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Oh, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill. Oh, your glory. Oh, to be overcome by your presence, Holy Spirit, holy, you are welcome here. Come and flood and fill the atmosphere, your glory, God. Oh, to be overcome by your presence. Lord.
Hallelujah.
Mighty God.
Come on, you are awesome in this place.
You are awesome in this place. Abba, Father, you're worthy of all praise. To you our lives we raise, for you are awesome in this place, mighty God.
Everybody say, you are awesome.
You are awesome in this place, mighty God. God, hey, you are awesome in this place, Abba. Father, you are worthy. Oh, to you our lives we raise. You are awesome in this place.
Oh, come on, sing it one more time.
You are awesome in this place. You are awesome in this place, mighty God.
Hallelujah. You are awesome.
Abba, Father. Oh, you're worthy of the praise. You are worthy. To you our lives.
You are awesome in this place,
mighty God.
Come on, one more time.
Everybody say, you are awesome, mighty God. Oh, you are awesome, oh, you are awesome in Abba, Father. Oh, worthy of the lives. You are awesome, mighty God.
You are worthy of all praise.
Oh, you are worthy of our praise. Hey, to you our lives we raise. And God, you are awesome, mighty God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One more time. You're worthy of our praise. You are worthy of. You are light. Yeah, yeah. You are awesome in this place. Mighty God. Oh, you are awesome in this place. Mighty God. Oh, you are awesome in this place. Mighty God. Come on and worship Him tonight. Hallelujah. He's worthy to be praised.
Something in your life somewhere where you could point out and say, God did that. Only God could do that. Sometimes we miss it because we look for the big things. We look for something incredible and we miss the supernatural. Amen. That little voice in your head, that's supernatural. That voice that told you not to do that, that's supernatural. It ain't big. It ain't, you know, it's not an explosion. Other people may not know, but it's supernatural. Some of us, we're still walking. That's supernatural. Some of us, we can still breathe. That's supernatural. We still see. We still hear. That's supernatural. Got to learn to praise God for the little things, the things that seem insignificant. Praise Him for it. Just think back at your life right now. Think back at one thing that He did. One thing that only God did that. Because if He did it, you wouldn't be here. Just think back to it. A moment in school. Amen. A moment on the street. A moment in the car. God did that. That one time you almost got into a car accident. Somehow you didn't. God did that. Amen. You know, that one time where you should have did this, you were about to do this in school. You had no business doing it. That one time you affiliated with the wrong people. You don't do it anymore. Amen. God did that. Amen. No one else. God did it. Just say, God did it. Turn to somebody and say, God did it. Amen. Turn to somebody else. Just say, God did it. Just shake three people's hands. Say, God did it. God did it. No one else. Only God did it. Now give Him praise. Give Him praise. Glory be to God. Things that I never thanked God for before. Amen. And I wonder if it stalls Him from doing something else for me. He looks back and He said, I did this, you didn't even notice it. He said, I was here, you didn't even see me. You know, think back at your life. Just thank God. Just, Lord, forgive me for not thanking You the way I was supposed to. Forgive me for not seeing what You were doing with me. You know, you got to give Him that praise. He deserves it. Amen. Let us bow our heads. Lord, our prayer today, Lord Jesus, as we gather, Lord, we may be few in number, Lord, but Lord, You don't care about how many people, Lord. You don't care about the quantity, Lord. What You care about is the quality, Lord Jesus. So, Lord, we want to come here, Lord, with our best praise. Lord, we want to come here, Lord, with a true worship, Lord Jesus, that You are deserving of, Lord. We don't deserve anything from You today, Lord Jesus. We can't demand anything from You today, Lord Jesus. But we come here, Lord, seeking grace and mercy again, Lord. Lord, forgive us for what we did, Lord Jesus. Anything that would stall Your blessings, Lord. Anything that would stall Your presence from being in our midst, oh God. Lord, forgive us for these things, oh Lord. Pray that every heart here, Lord, let every desire be fulfilled today. And Lord, by the time we leave tonight, we just want at least one thing, Lord, where we can point and say, God did that. Only God can do that right there. That's what we want, Lord Jesus. It don't got to be big. Lord, it don't got to be, you know, extreme. But Lord, let it just be one thing where we can say, only God can do that right there. That's what we desire, Lord. Every time we come in your presence, Lord, we want, oh Lord Jesus, you to show yourself, oh God. We don't want to suppress your presence with our thoughts and our ideas, Lord Jesus. We don't want to suppress your presence, Lord, because we're trying to do our own thing, Lord. We don't want to suppress your presence, Lord, because we're trying to control you, Lord. Lord, have your way this evening. Lord, move, Lord Jesus, through each heart, Lord. Speak to each ear, Lord Jesus. Those who really need your presence, those who really need to see you, Lord, show yourself, oh God. Those who need an answer, answer, oh God. Those who need a filling or a refilling, Lord, fill them, Lord Jesus. Oh God, till they're overflowing. Lord Jesus, we just want to be able to leave, Lord, and say, God did that. Lord, go home and be like, this is what God did to me, Lord. This is what he did for me today at this service. There wasn't much people there, but God knew I was going to be there, so he showed up. We want to be able to say that, Lord Jesus. This is what you did for me. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, and we'll celebrate, Lord, someone else's blessing as if it is our own. Lord Jesus, we'll celebrate him as if it is our own, Lord. So, Lord, don't just deal with us as individuals. Deal with the people sitting next to us, Lord. Oh, God, we want everyone to be filled, refilled. We want everyone to be, everyone's desires to be met tonight, Lord Jesus. Do it, Lord, and we thank you for doing it, Jesus. We don't see it yet, Lord, but we already thanking you, oh God. It's already done. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, we might as well enjoy it while we're here. Amen. Glory to God. How many come looking for God to do something special for you tonight? Amen. I believe he's here to meet you. Amen. Let's put our hands together. I command my hands to praise the Lord. I command my hands to praise the Lord. I command my hands to praise the Lord. Yes, I command my hands to praise the Lord. Oh, hands, you got to praise the Lord. Come on, say, you got to praise. Hands, you got to praise the hands. Come on, say. Oh, I command my feet to praise the Lord. I command my feet to praise the Lord. Yeah, I command my feet to praise the Lord. Well, I command my feet to praise the, say feet. Oh, you got to praise the feet. You got to praise feet. You got to praise feet. Yeah. Oh, I command my spirit to praise the Lord. Say, I command my spirit to praise the Lord. Oh, I command my spirit to praise the Lord. Yes, I command my spirit to praise. Spirit, you got to praise. Spirit, oh, you got to praise. Spirit. Yeah, Spirit, hallelujah, come on. I command my mouth to praise the Lord. I command my mouth to praise the Lord. Come on, I command my mouth to praise. Come on, say, come on, let your mouth praise him. Mouth, hey, mouth, oh, you got to praise. Mouth, hey, come on, say mouth, yeah. I command my body, I command my body to praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. I command my body to praise. I command my body. Oh, I command my body. Say body. Hey, you got to praise. Say body. Oh, you got to praise. Say body. You got to praise body. Hallelujah. Say spirit, spirit. You got to praise. Say spirit. You got to praise. Say spirit. Oh, hey, spirit. Hallelujah. Come on. Say hands. You got to praise. Say hands. You got to praise. Say hands. Oh, you got to praise. Say hands. Hallelujah. Come on, mouth. Mouth, mouth. You got to praise. Say mouth. Hey. Say mouth. Yeah. Say mouth. Hallelujah. Now put those hands together. Let the musicians play. Come on. Praise, say hands. You got to praise, say hands. Oh, hands. Hallelujah. Come on, feet. Say feet, feet. You got to praise, say feet. You got to praise, feet. You got to praise. You got to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Somebody worship him tonight. Glory to his name. Amen. Turn around and tell somebody, you got to praise the Lord. You got to praise the Lord. Amen. When you think of all the goodness that he's done to you, you got to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated tonight. Amen. We certainly thank the Lord for another wonderful year. Amen. Of youth services. And tonight I believe God got something in store for each and every one of us that pressed our way out, amen, here tonight. We got a couple specials that we want to bring to you, and I believe they'll all be a blessing, amen, and to you. So let's not just sit back and enjoy, but let's enter in, amen, as the songs go forth. Sister Charisse, would you come, amen, at this time, and we'll have her just open us up tonight. Praise the name of the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Amen. I say praise the Lord, everybody. Nothing compares to the promise that we have in Him. Hallelujah. Glory to His name. Man, God bless you, Sister Cherise. We appreciate that tonight. Amen. Amen. We'll have the clergy brothers, man, come at this time and give us a song. Praise the Lord. Amen. 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 Amen.
God bless you.
I'm going to sing a song. Glory to God.
Living, He loved me. Dying, He saved me. Buried, He carried my sins far away. Rising, He justified. Freed me forever. One day He's coming back. Glorious day. Living, He loved me. Dying, He saved me. Buried, He carried my sins far away. Rising, He justified. Freed me forever. One day He's coming back, glorious day. Living, He loved me. Dying, He saved me. Buried, He carried my sins far away. Rising, He justified. Freed me forever. One day He's coming back, glorious day. Living, He loved me. Dying, He saved me. Buried, He carried my sins far away. Rising, He justified. Freed me forever. One day He's coming back. Glorious day. Send it on down. Send it on down. Lord, let Your Holy Ghost come on down. I said send it on down. Send it on down. Your Holy Ghost, come on down. I can't do nothing till You send it on down. Lord, let Your Holy Ghost come on down. You know I can't do nothing till You send it on down. Lord, let Your Holy Ghost come on down. Send it on down. Send it on down. Lord, let Your Holy Ghost come on down. Then send it on down. Send it on down. Lord, let Your Holy Ghost come on down. I said, now send it on down.
Send on down.
Lord, let Your Holy Ghost come on down. I said, send it on down. Send it on down.
Send it on down. Lord, let the Holy Ghost come on, somebody. Send it on down. Send it on down. Lord, let the Holy Ghost come on. Do you believe that? Do you want that? Send it on down. Send it on down. Lord, let the Holy Ghost come on. Sing it like you mean it. Send it on down. Send it on down. Well, send it on down.
one more time. Send it on down. Send it on down. Send it on down. Yeah. Send it down. Send it on down. Lord, let the Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, come on down. Somebody worship him in this place. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessed be his holy name. I believe the Holy Spirit is in this place even right now. Amen. We feel the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. That's all right. God bless you, brother. The clergy brothers, appreciate that. Amen. Brother Justin's going to represent Okeechobee tonight, and he's going to come and give us a special. Amen. Let's say praise the Lord as he comes. Amen. Amen. Glory to God.
Amen. How many happy to be in the house of the Lord tonight? Before I sing, I just want to talk for a second here. You know, we don't think about the cross and the blood as much as we should. Sometimes we get very lifted up in ourselves and think that we have our own mercy or our own grace that we can somehow distribute upon people. And the grace that was good for us isn't good for anybody else. And we forget about how worthy he is because we're trying to think about how worthy we are. But we got to start thinking about Jesus again. You know, John says that he looked up and saw no man worthy in heaven or earth. In no realm was anybody worthy but the Lamb. We got to start thinking about the Lamb. Nobody could do anything for you but the Lamb that was slain before you even made a mistake. Sometimes we forget about how nasty of a sinner we are. Still, in your flesh, you're not saved. But he's still worthy because he makes you whatever you're going to be. He makes you worthy. You have nothing in yourself. And so I start thinking, and when you start really thinking about the cross and appreciating it, you just start telling him thank you over and over again for the same thing, because you realize that you couldn't have done it for yourself and where your destination would be at. So I want you to start picturing your nasty sins as they still are, your nasty sins. And when you hear these songs, just start really thanking the Lord. Worship the Lord, because nobody else could do it. You couldn't do it for yourself. And it's a real simple song. And I mean, I sing this at the church with song service. And forgive me if I mess up some of the words, because I'm used to leading. You know, when you lead, you don't sing all the words. You lead. But the song is really simple. It says, thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the price you paid, bearing all my sin and shame. In love you came and gave amazing grace. Thank you for this love. For the nail-pierced hands, wash me in your cleansing flow. Now all I know, your forgiveness and embrace. Worthy, worthy is the around.
thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the price you paid, bearing all my sin and shame. In love you came and gave amazing grace. Thank you for this love, Lord. Thank you for the nail pierced hands. You washed me in your cleansing blood. Now
and raise our hands and sing it one time without the music.
Worthy is the Lamb, sing worthy is the Lamb.
Come on, worship.
Seated, seated on the throne, we crown you, Lord. We crown you now with many crowns. Lord, you reign victorious.
Nobody worthy but Jesus. Amen. I tell you what, I'm so glad I'm on the Lord's side. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. We have one more special here tonight for you. Sister Rachel's going to sing us a song. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord. Is that your desire to have a clean heart? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, my, my, my. You know, these the songs and everything that's been going forth. It's the month of December and everything. And I feel like tonight I'm just kind of sitting at a little bonfire. And, amen. I'm just enjoying the presence of the Lord. Amen. And it's the Spirit of God that's creating a fire in this place. I believe God is here to do whatever we need him to do tonight. Amen. And I know that we didn't gather here by accident or by chance. And everyone that's here, God ordained you to be here for a reason. Amen. As we just prepare our hearts, amen, for giving tonight. And after that, we will receive our minister tonight. And just want him to come and just have his way. Let's just have the brothers come and we'll prepare to just give. Amen. Tonight. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for this opportunity we have to give. We ask that you would just use it for the furtherance of your kingdom. Father, we thank you for everything that's happened thus far in this service. We're under expectation of the Holy Spirit to use to minister, Lord, to speak to our needs tonight. Take complete control over everything that happens in this place, Lord, is our prayer. It's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. And I will serve nobody but you. Give me a clean heart to see like I should, walk the path that's right, and to do the things you would. Give me a clean heart, and I will serve nobody but you. Say, give me a clean heart to lose a double mind. Believe you when you tell me everything will be just fine. Just lay your hands on me, Lord. I will be brand new.
Come on, y'all, stand and help me sing that.
I'm calling out to you for a strength exchange. I will gladly take your joy for my weakness. Give me a clean heart, and I will serve nobody but you. Better one, I pray, to stay on the path you've chosen and stick with it all the way. Give me a clean heart, and I will serve nobody but you.
I'm calling out to you,
and I am calling out to you for a strength exchange. I will gladly take your joy for my weakness. Give me a clean heart. I will serve nobody but you. Say, I am calling out to you for a strength exchange. For my weakness, Lord, give me a clean heart, and I will serve nobody but you. Oh, nobody but you.
Come on, give the Lord a hand of praise in this place. God, give us a clean heart. Give us a clean heart. We'll serve nobody but you, nobody but you. Tonight, man, we want to welcome our brother, friend, to the pulpit. We're so happy to have him come over and, amen, and speak this service. He's a young man that I have watched for quite some time, and I've always just appreciated his stand, amen, as a Christian, and just kind of holding his head above all the fanaticism and everything else that's in this day. But being a young man committed to the Lord and wanting to serve the Lord, it means a lot. You young people, for brothers my age and maybe a little older, we always look back behind us to see who's coming on and who's going to take that baton and just kind of carry it. I remember Brother Capers used to tell me when I was a young man, he said, hold up the bloodstained banner. So whatever you do, just keep that bloodstained banner lifted high. And, you know, that's the same thing I want to tell you young people. Hold up that bloodstained banner. Don't, amen, don't be ashamed, amen, of what Jesus Christ has done for you. Amen. And tonight, I just believe as we bring this young man to the pulpit, I believe God will use him just to speak to our hearts. And amen, we're under expectation that God will just speak something that we have need of. So as we welcome Brother Franco. Praise the Lord.
Then grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Come on, every hand lifted, every eye closed.
I once was lost, oh, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see.
Come on, sing with all your heart.
Amazing grace, amazing.
Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. God bless everyone. Amen. Turn to Isaiah 41:9. Yeah, for the longest time, the Lord's dealing with whether to preach his word or not. Now he's been pushing it back more and more, time and time again. And then just the past couple, 5 or 6 or 7 years, there's been cowards who preach this message and left it and not understanding what we believe is false. And for someone, Lord Jesus Christ, who I cared about so much, who's done so much for me, and brought me through so much, kept me through so much pain, so much hurt, when everything around me was falling apart, that his word kept me true. I couldn't just stand by and just sit here while Satan's on a rampage. For the bride called us to do our part too. Because Lord, ask Lord that, I don't know if I'm called to preach your word, but Father, I'm here. If they don't want to speak of your glory, Lord, call me to do it. If they're afraid to stand for the truth, allow me to do it. Father, if they can't believe in your word, if they want to be canon, Father, for the devil, if they enjoy the gods of Egypt that bad, Father, allow myself to get out the way so you can use me. So I pray that I be a blessing to you. It's on my second service. That doesn't matter because God is with us.
Amen.
So I'm going to get myself out the way.
Amen.
And trust we all do the same.
Glory. Amen.
Isaiah 41, verse 9. Thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called thee from the chief men thereof and said unto thee, thou art my servant, I have chosen thee and not cast thee away. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And turn to Philippians 4, verse 4. Philippians 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You may be seated. I'm going to title this service, God's Providence. When I first came up with this title, God's Providence, I was like, Lord, I don't want to say providence for a whole hour. I never use the word in my own vocabulary. I don't want to say peace or calm or a nice presence, something that I'm familiar with. Right. But I looked it up, what providence means, and it means this, the act of providing or preparing for future use or application. Right. Foresight, timely care, particularly active foresight. He's not like us. He's not lackadaisical. It's not a maybe. It's not a hope. So I'll see if I can get to it. It's an active foresight. Right. A foresight accompanied with gaining what is necessary for future use. Right. What is necessary, what is needful. Not a want, but what a need. What is necessary for future use. Or with suitable preparation. Right. How many of the troubles and perplexities of life proceed from want of providence? Or how many of the troubles, the stress, the tension, the conflict, and mistakes of life come from the lack of knowing God's timely care and trusting in his active foresight? The majority of all our pitfalls and our troubles come from not trusting in his providence and his active foresight and his word in general. The care and superintendence which God exercises over his own, he that acknowledges a creation and denies a providence involves himself in a contradiction. When I read that, it reminded me of a Christian who accepts God as his Savior and not as Lord has a huge contradiction.
Right.
Always asking for prayer, never willing to surrender.
Right.
Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. As for the same power which caused a thing to exist is necessary to continue its existence. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And it implies, says, developing that good work and perfecting and bring it to full completion in you.
Right.
And also calls providence as God's will and predestination.
Amen.
Turn to Hebrews 11. Amen. God's providence is all up and down our lives. We take it for granted, but it's been used up and down through our brothers and sisters throughout the Bible, the ones we go to church with, the ones we grew up around. It's been evident in our lives. And a lot of times we just take it as something common. Oh, it's going to happen like that anyways. But it's God working through you. It's God working through us.
All right.
I guess I need to turn to Hebrews 11 too. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the words were framed by the word of God so that things that which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Drop down to verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. Noah heard the voice of God, and from that moment he began to make preparation. Even though everybody was mocking him, all my life throughout school and high school, everybody mocked, why I didn't do this, why I didn't watch this, why I didn't dress this. It's common. You're always going to be mocked over it.
All right.
People's going to pick on you, mock you, ridicule you. I had this one person came up to me and said I was a cult. He's a Baptist minister now. Uh-huh. And he hasn't found out yet that I'm a minister, but he'll probably just blow up if he did. But the thing of it is that there will always be people who will be making preparation for a flood. But you should not let that hinder who you are. Because you're not making preparation for a flood. You're making preparation for the ark. We're in Satan's Eden, so you'll be surrounded by a lot of people making preparation for a flood. So be mindful of that. You're making preparation for the ark. And the only Bible they will see, the only Jesus Christ they will see, will be you. Abraham, he did something that's not popular through a lot of people. When I first preached this, I said, Abraham did one of the dumbest things he could ever do. You know what it was? He listened to his wife. Now you see why I didn't say it that time. But you'll see where I'm getting with, though. He had a promise. Abraham had a promise that produced Isaac. But their reasoning produced an Ishmael. Our family influences produce an Ishmael.
Right.
But God called us to produce an Isaac.
Glory.
Thank God for them, they got Ishmael out the house. But what a lot of people make mistakes is that they keep their Ishmael. They're satisfied with that Ishmael. And even though God promised them of an Isaac, and they know God promised them of an Isaac, and they had a visit that they was going to get a promise from Isaac, people settle with an Ishmael. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof.
Amen.
But thank God for Brother Moses. If he didn't listen to his wife, he probably would have died. And he didn't. His wife had to do it for him. He circumcised his own child. He had a bunch of excuses on why he couldn't do what God called him to do. Couldn't speak. They wouldn't believe it came from him. This and that. I had a lot of excuses, and most of them was probably a lot of good excuses why I wasn't able to preach this word, that a lot of things that you think that, oh, I've done this and that, why would the Lord call me to do something? Well, there's something about Moses.
Yeah, right.
To this day, people know who Moses is. Yeah. Because a man was able to get himself out the way.
Right.
People know who he is.
Yeah.
Sinners, people who don't believe in the Bible, are making movies based on Moses.
Yeah.
To this day. They did one back when Brother Brandon was here. They just did one like a year or two ago, and they're going to do another one. Just because of one man getting out of the way. Everyone on this world knows who Moses is. A one-man invasion. And his testimony still goes on today. He's next for people, some of my favorite people in this Bible. Joshua and Caleb. I love Joshua and Caleb because Joshua and Caleb, they didn't play no games. They had faith that was strong and very courageous. He believed the prophet, and most of his life he was with them. They knew they were more than able to take the land. The people, they even went in their church. And I hate this so much. I hate this so much. It's one thing to be an oddball in the world, but it's another thing to be an oddball in your own assembly. It took only 12 of them went, and 10 of them, and there's just think like two boys, they went, and they said they could take a land. But unfortunately, a deacon, a pastor, a treasurer, and all these different offices,
Amen.
Same people who all my life told me, oh, you don't have the Holy Ghost. It's like, don't worry about the Holy Ghost. The same people that said that are saying it's impossible to take the land. It's like, you know what he's done. He don't know better. All this stuff, trust me, you don't. Just because you feel like an oddball in your own assembly doesn't mean you're wrong. Just mean that you've been feeding on the right thing. And you pray for them because they're a part of us too. But don't let that hinder you, because 10 people who supposedly have more experience than you claim that you can't take the land. It's yours. You know it's yours. God said so. Hallelujah. It's your providence. Take it. Amen. They trusted in God's providence. He didn't just sit under his prophet and not act on the promise that was given him. He believed in God's active foresight. They trusted him. They walked in it. They acted on it. They weren't caught up in the things of the world. They weren't caught up in the fashions of the world, the music of the world, the movies of the world. You know who was caught up in the movies and the fashions of the world? Achan was, and he didn't make it out so well. On, Joshua was still doing great exploits, on, even after the prophet left the scene.
Come on, brother.
And these are two people I can relate to the most. They never met Moses. They heard a lot about the prophet all their life. They didn't see the plagues. They didn't know how it was like to be delivered from Egypt. I pretty much grew up in this mess my whole life. Yes, I was in Egypt, but at the same time, since I was 10, I'm going to say I was delivered from recess. I don't know. Just 10 on, I was going to a message church. They don't have a testimony of crossing the Red Sea. They weren't there to witness his healing ministry with the brass serpent. Right. Maybe they had a few DVDs of him, of Deep Call to the Deep, eyewitness testimony of Joshua and Caleb, and others who were there. But for the most part, all they had were testimonies of a living God. Tapes, books like By Faith Moses,
all right.
The Revelation of the Ten Commandments,
come on.
And of course, the token.
All right.
But in a time where the people did what was right in their own eyes, a far cry from, as for me and my house, I will serve the Lord.
All right.
Samson and Shamgar did what they had to do.
All right.
Samson, with a jawbone, killed heaps upon heaps. Man, when I read heaps upon heaps, I don't know what I mean that is, but just go through Chick-fil-A and ask for heaps upon heaps of Polynesian sauce and count that, times that by 100, and that's probably how many devils that you're probably going to kill. Heaps upon heaps. I was like, I didn't even get to the 1,000 men, but I was like, man, heaps upon heaps. Man, what is that, Samson? Yeah, heaps upon heaps, man. Lord willing, someday I'll make a sermon called Heaps Upon Heaps. Hallelujah.
Right. That's good. Come on.
And after him was Shamgar. This is not after him, but that's what this verse says. After him was Shamgar, the son of Anath, which slew of the Philistines 600 men and an ox goad. And he also delivered Israel. Shamgar. There's only one verse about him. But us who grown up in this, you would think there's like a whole book on him. We heard about him so much. What I love about Shamgar is that he never met Moses. And yet the same God that helped Moses deliver Israel was with Shamgar.
Yes, sir.
Man.
Amen.
And they didn't grow up around all that, the healings or whatnot. They'd just be sick and tired of the devil robbing them, taking their or the Philistines robbing them and taking what's theirs. You know it's yours. It's not just for the brothers in the Bible. There's sisters too. She didn't have the best parents in the world. They put her in a situation where she got a lot of scars, complexes, heartache, and a reputation so horrible. To this day, when people reference her, they call her a harlot. As we know now by articles and news or whatnot, we know when it comes to prostitution, a lot of these people are kidnapped, drugged, and you hear the horror stories about the stuff they go through and the pain. And just imagine a young girl who parents willingly put them into that environment. They lost their definition of what a relationship is, what love is. And just they grew up with people, the friends they grew up with, they're going on with better lives. They're doing this and doing that. You would think someone who went through that would have so much hate and so much anger because of the situation they're in. And yet, she went through all those scars. It didn't stop her to apply the token and save her own household. Because she heard about how the Lord dried up the water in the Red Sea when they came out of Egypt. If there's a testimony in your heart and the Lord put something in you to tell that person, don't be ashamed. It's like, no, they're not going to accept that. Testimony is going a long way. I'm reading to you a bunch of people who just heard testimonies, and they have this faith.
Right. Amen.
She had faith that their God is the one and only living God. Elkanah had two wives. One was named Peninnah. We're going to call her Penny because I can't say her name. Was Penny. She had kids, but his other wife, Hannah, didn't have no kids. She was embarrassed, grieved that she couldn't bear children. Just imagine all the baby showers, all the announcements, everybody thinking, Hannah Fine had a baby. Oh, you had a baby, you had a baby. And the heartache was, no, it wasn't hers. It was Penny's baby. She had a bitterness of soul, wept sore, but all this did not stop her from praying to the Lord. Yeah. She didn't take the word, twist it, and make it work for her right. So she can have a baby. She wasn't one that went up there, you know what? I just read the word, and I remember Abraham and Sarah, they produced an Ishmael. How about we produce an Ishmael and just go behind their word? No, they knew what the word says. And though it went bitterness of soul, there crying, there's tears, there's heartache. You'll have heartache. It happens. It's life.
Yeah.
We've all been through it. But that's not stopping you to pray to the Lord.
Hey! Hallelujah.
She believed in the peace that passeth all understanding. Her adversity also provoked her sore for to make her fret because the Lord had shut up her womb. The Lord shut up her womb. A lot of people say that's not fair. What kind of God would do that? But trust in the Lord. Trust in His providence.
Amen.
That testimony is helping women right now who's having miscarriage after miscarriage. And they can point to that. Mary, an angel of the Lord, told her to fear not that she was going to fulfill prophecy. Same way that we all know that we're called to fulfill prophecy because we're the bride of Christ. She found favor with God and she going to give birth to the Son of God, to which she said, be it unto me according to thy word. We give birth to our Holy Spirit, so we say, be it unto me according to thy word, that the Holy Spirit dwells in me, that I make a tabernacle fit for him to live in. Be it unto me according to thy word. Dying out to myself. I'm not making excuses. Imagine Mary hasn't been married yet, just an engaged. So you know everybody's talking. Mary's pregnant, and it wasn't by Joseph. So she already, even though you told her it was from God, you know if people are just like any way they are now, saying she's lying and living an immoral life.
All right. Yeah. All right.
But the first thing the Bible says, she says, be it unto me according to thy word. You can't, when the Lord comes to you, you can't base what you're going to act on other people's opinions. Because
right.
it's your actions that's going to deliver them. Hebrews 11:32. And what shall I more say? It was 11:32. And what shall I more say, for the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and I'm sure I probably already did say some of them, of Gideon, of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David, also of Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the vines of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured. Others, these people, before I even read a Bible or listened to a tape, there was a book that was always precious to me, and that was the Fox Book of Martyrs. I could never understand. I was reading it, and I was like, why are they doing this? It's like, what do they have that's causing them to willingly go into this? For a little child to see his family slain while pregnant, and yet he runs willingly. And he was younger to tend this child. Run willingly to give his throat to the sword. And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And the others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds of imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, but having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. All those people, including the ones with the Fox Book of Martyrs, they're looking towards God's providence. They weren't believing God's providence just here on earth. They're looking past this. They knew there was more ahead. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Reckon the sufferings. Reckon that the sufferings of this present time weren't worthy to be compared with the glory which was to be revealed in us. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who could be against us? Yes, we have an adversary. It's named Satan. He was kicked out of heaven. Same one that kicked out of heaven dwells inside of you. So before, yes, we already won the battle. Yes, he's defeated. But you don't underestimate our adversary. He's been doing this for a very long time. Yes, the victory's won. He's under our feet. We're more able to overcome. But that doesn't mean you underestimate him. Know who you are. Feed on the word. Be established. And don't force yourself to, you're not called to be me myself. Just don't tell nobody. I haven't read this whole Bible from cover to cover yet. Does that mean am I under Satan's feet? No. I haven't listened to every tape of this message. All right. That mean it stands on my feet? No. I know who I am because I believe his word. Hallelujah. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. He will give strength to his people. He will bless his people with peace. He doesn't approach us like we approach him. He will. He gives us peace in Satan's Eden and a landfill of insanity. Florida alone, you got people killing their children, people eating their faces off. When I read the front, it was like, oh, man. And then instead of Florida, I was like, man. And then it said it was Haitian. I was like, oh, man. It's just kept getting worse and worse. Don't even look at the news no more. But it just felt in the spirit of insanity. People are going crazy. People don't know if they're a man or woman. They're teaching their children that they can choose to be a man or a woman. And the Lord's giving you peace in that. There's people who studied at a Bible study. I don't know, this guy wanted to have a Bible study at work. I was like, all right, no problem. At a park. He brought his associate pastor with him. And I wish I was kidding when I said this, but this is what he did. He went like this. I've been studying this Bible for 50 years, 50 years. There's nothing you can tell me. You can bring anyone you want, anytime, any place, anywhere. And then when he was done, he did this. And then his friend was like, Now. Like, we're about to fight. It's like, now, brother, just want you to know the word is here for you. And what? And just like, it's so fun when people are trying to bring me to the Lord, you know? It's like, oh, this is fun. I don't have to try. They're coming to me, you know? It's like, I enjoy it. I welcome it. It's fun. And stuff. But I was so shocked because this is associate pastor. So I'm picturing like Brother Bill doing this. I'm like, man. I was like, oh, like, Lord, please hold my tongue, Lord. Please hold my hand, Lord. I can't, Lord. I just like an old-fashioned Catholic. Lord, just give me a Catholic. I don't know who these people are. It's like that I can mess with. You know, I can show them this and that, but what is this? But the same religion that this man was the same person that went up to Brother Bam and told him, He made up that thing on the card, and then the Lord cast that same thing that was on that card onto him with the people up in the balcony. And he described the spirit that they had. And I was like, yep, that's exactly what they were, just like that, the same exact spirit. Oh, I don't know, Hon, what are you going on? Oh, well, that was there. I don't know where that came up. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect. Oh, yeah, a spirit of insanity. That's right. Yeah. The spirit of insanity isn't caught up just in the things of the world, but it's caught up in people's churches. Yeah. They're following this thing, and they believe that it's thus saith the Lord, but just a mockery to what we have that's genuine.
Right.
And the sad thing about it is a bunch of these cowards that are leaving this message is saying that Jesus Christ isn't who he is. They don't only have... trying to think of a popally correct term to say. What I have to say.
Come on, brother.
These people that don't have a backbone to tell their assembly that they left this doctrine are getting advice from the same ones that left to try to bring their assembly on with them. Without even letting them know, oh, yeah, by the way, we don't believe it anymore. We don't believe in the thus saith the Lord. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Thank God his strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in sickness and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. There's a story about a donkey falling in a hole. I'm sure you heard of it. They're throwing dirt on him, and he's shaking the dirt off. And by the time he shook all the dirt off, he's out of the hole, and he's looking back. Satan's going to constantly throw stuff at you. And, of course, you're going to throw it off because Satan is a liar. He's a liar to begin with. He always has been.
Right.
Shake it off. Throw it on the ground. Move up. Keep. Give a visual in case you're like, dancing. Because I've stared at preachers, too, and I'm not even paying attention. So what happens is Satan will throw something on you, and you throw it back at him. Get up higher.
Yeah, right.
Satan will throw more on you, throw it on him, get back higher.
Right.
By the time you turn around, that's when you look narrowly down upon him and say, is this the man that troubled me all these years? Because
right.
That pit wasn't never meant for you.
All right.
And besides, he's at a bottomless pit. So we had this long argument over seeing down, who can see the bottom of the bottomless pit? It's a bottomless pit. We're looking narrowly down upon him, but it's a bottomless pit. Is he on the side hanging on or something? Just throw something on him so he can fall. You know, you can't look narrowly down somebody at the bottomless pit. But it's not meant for you. It's meant for Satan. Every time you throw back on him, the nervousness, the fear, the doubt, the pain, all that's thrown back on him. So take joy in that. Just like every promise in the Bible, you're looking towards that and you're taking it now. Look at Satan like that now. You don't have to wait till then. Look at him now.
Amen.
A lot of times Hollywood skits, plays, even stuff that we've done, Satan's big and hanging over and scared. And it's like horror and it's like dramatic effect and whatnot. But he's defeated. He's weak. He's pathetic. He's finished. But you have to trust in God's providence for you. Because there's a lot of church members who think they're not caught up in the spirit of insanity.
Yes, sir.
All up and down the Bible, the Lord reassures us of God's providence. Sorry, I was just going through and reading. I didn't say none of the scriptures or nothing. But Psalm 63:8, my soul followeth hard after thee, thy right hand upholdeth me. Psalm 37:24, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. The Lord upholdeth, Psalms 145:14, the Lord upholdeth all that fall and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. Psalm 37:24, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Turn to John 14. This God's providence, because the Lord sent something for you. He sent that providence for you to protect you, to watch over you, and to give you what you have need of. He sent in the form of a comforter. John 14, verse 15. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And we know it's not just keeping your commandments, because the rich young ruler kept all the commandments. It takes a dying out to yourself.
Yeah.
And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Not when you're feeling good, not just when you're feeling good, not just on Sunday and Wednesday, but he's going to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. He wants to give you the Holy Ghost more than you want the Holy Ghost. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. The world don't even see him no more. So don't let them say you don't have something they don't even see. At that day, ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. It's one thing to know what the Godhead is. It's another thing to know that you're part of that Godhead. Verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. Whatsoever I have said unto you, verse 27, peace I live with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells inside you right now. I make sure that if I ever listen to anything, not in between one on breaks at work, that is not the Easter seal. Because if I listen to the Easter seal at break, I may not be coming back to break. One time I listened to it, and then time just went by, and like I had, thank the Lord, I had a 2-hour lunch. Hallelujah. But the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Same person that created everything that you see and don't see dwells inside of you right now. Amen. So what fear do you have in the world when the person that created everything you see and don't see, and you're worrying and your nervousness and that you will not make it or you won't make a rapture? Amen. The only reason that you... Oh, we'll save that for later. I'm going ahead of myself. Ephesians 3. Verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints, not with all unbelievers, not with all people on the fence, but with all saints, what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, which passeth all understanding, all your reasoning, all what you think the way God's supposed to act, all the way you think God's promise is supposed to come through for you. It's passing all of that. That ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. It doesn't say might because God might can't do it. Because like I said, he wants to give it to you more than you want it. Right. It's all on you whether you want to die out to yourself or not. Right. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Y'all, those who, raise your hand if you went to Burley's camp when Brother McGrady preached. Brother Seth McGrady's dad preached a sermon. I guess I was the only one that went. Praise the Lord. If I was probably here, y'all weren't there, probably. But Brother McGrady preached, and he pointed at a dot on the wall. And ever since I heard this, it was like a building was made and that corner was done. I was like, it helped me so much. He said, this little dot right here is your life on earth, beginning and end. The rest of this building is eternity. Now, that little dot, that's not all the bad stuff. That's the good and the bad. That's not a bad thought. That's the whole life. That's the day you was born to the day you rapture or you go by the way of the grave. Yeah. And you're going to let this hinder you from all of this? And there's a lot of stuff you don't see, because right now you only see the chairs, the wall, the paint. But there's like studs, there's block, there's nails, yeah. There's every little frame, there's other rooms. And you're going to let this rob you from your providence. A peace that passeth all understanding. A lot of people die for this. A lot of people go through sweat, blood, and tears all for this. To forsaken this. Saying that all this is false. What you're doing is a waste of time. So-and-so left for this. You have family, people you looked up to. I remember when I was young, someone I really looked up to, and how that felt when they left away. That was before anybody was starting to leave. It was just one day I went online and asked about them, and it was like night and day, like a total flip. And that was discouraging to me, and I couldn't understand for the life of me, why would someone leave this? I just couldn't understand. But we'll get to that in a little bit. When he was, and he cares, when he was here on earth, as I say, he cared for the people so much that he healed the sick, comforted their hearts, told them about a place that where we would go and prepare for them and would come again to receive them unto himself. He cared for them, and notice he cared so much until when he knowed he must leave in order to bring great thing to us, he said, I'll not leave you comfortless, but I will send the Holy Spirit, and he shall continue my care for you. Until he returns, there's no one cares like Jesus. No one cares like Jesus, no matter how much they love you or whatnot. A while back, we did a skit on the court trial and involved a lot of stuff that's going on now. People were like scoffing at us or whatnot. And then when that went out, and it just went viral, like everybody that left had something to say. Like even people, it was funny because I didn't want to like a comment, because if I did, then they'll find me and they'll just go to my page. But even people that left because they just couldn't understand were on there and saying, I don't know what the point of this site is. I don't see Jesus in that whatsoever. I just know how much you hate a prophet. I know how much you hate a message. I see Christ not into this. And there's a lot of people like that. There was one sister who was saying you should pray for them. You shouldn't vehemently attack them. Like, this brought like every kind of person that left to this one little argument over this thing of three kinds of believers. A believer, a make-believer, and an unbeliever on trial. There's three kinds of people. Unfortunately, there's one. This is the only heaven they will ever know. Every day at school, every day at work, it hurts so much that a lot of people that I rub shoulders with, a lot of good people, that this may be the only heaven they will ever know. And I pray to God that I'm doing my part, that I may be the only Bible they ever see.
Amen.
And I don't want to be a stumbling block to them,
right,
because I was too weak and just accepted the gods of Egypt. Because I know who I am.
Amen.
I shouldn't be able to knock down to the devil, because it's not just about me, it's about God's people.
Amen.
And then there's another group of people who make believers, like Judas, or whatnot. People were just here probably like half, three quarters of the way and just fall off on the end. Some people, they start this race quick. They are fast. Some of them, they're preaching like the best sermons. They're raising people from the dead. They're doing all these great works. They can testify like nobody's business. But, well, once upon a time, there was a person who went to a church. I don't know. I'm not saying that church was ours. I'm just saying he went to a church. And he's an awesome person. Testify and giving all these great testimonies. And he's a great brother. I love him. I still love him. He's awesome. And because he's a great person, he's sweet. He knows a lot about the word. He knows a lot about this message. And he was And he pretty much started, he was brought up with us, pretty much, like we was first church. And then he didn't see, and then our brother wasn't doing something that was necessarily right. And then, surprise, the Holy Ghost preached on it. And he had a grudge ever since. Now, man, I start these things, and I don't know why I start them. Man, I can't get on Brother Danny anymore. That's what I get for doing that. But, oh, yeah, three-quarters people. Thing of it is, it saddens me that you go around testifying and talking about how great God is, and you're like seem like one of the strongest people around. But you never visit back your home church because of a grudge you still have. What kind of spirit goes around bragging about the Lord Jesus Christ everywhere they go except for a place that kept them in bondage ever since they couldn't let go of what God said to their heart? A lot of people claim Christianity, claim they believe this word, and yet when the Lord Jesus Christ presents something, everybody hates devils until it's their own pet devil. You always heard the saying where it's like people love the creation more than the creator. And I have not figured out the right way of saying it, but someday I will. But a lot of times people hate, they love the things of Satan, the gods of Egypt, more. They hate Satan, let me say this, they hate Satan more than they hate the things that Satan, the attributes of Satan. There you go. They hate Satan more than the attributes of Satan. They can claim, they can yell out the prayer for sickness, prayer for lost loved ones, this and that. But when it comes to the stuff that's killing you, the same poisons that's attacking you, that's going after your family, you're welcoming in your house, and you're willing accepting that. Know your adversary. He's been doing this for a very long time. You just may be that eyeball in that church. Just because the other 10 is saying one way don't mean you and the brother that's with you should disagree. Knowing that his body as a high priest and the mediatorial work that he's doing now, that body must be in the presence of God at all times for intercession. Oh, what am I doing? I'm reading the same thing over again. Bless God. Everybody doesn't have this comforter. They don't have it. So the reason they don't have it is because they don't accept it. Oh, I said three. I have a memory like a goldfish. Sorry. I do this a lot. So there's three. There was the one that's maybe the only heaven they'll know. And the second one, they're only going three quarters of the way. And we're talking about three people who will be why they're getting hindered by this little dot. And then there's one who's looking at it the wrong way. Now, I hope that you're spiritual enough to read what I'm saying. I'm speaking to a group of people that's to be prayed for in a few minutes. I'm speaking to a group of people who's going to be taking a rapture in a few minutes, maybe a few hours, maybe a few days, we don't know. Amen. But it's coming. And we have this comfort in the Holy Spirit that's sent for the comforter, but all the people won't receive that. They don't believe in it. See, they, in order to do that, they gather their comfort from some other source, some other means. If they don't accept God's provided comforter, then they have to get some other comforter, see? Because you can't live without something to live for. Now, who's ever seen an iron before? Raise your hand. You know what iron is? It irons clothes, it gets out wrinkles. All right, I'm not speaking in parables, okay? You plug it in the wall, it irons clothes. All right, okay? Say iron. What's iron? I know it doesn't look like I'm using iron because all my stuff's wrinkled, but it's okay. But when I was little, my mom was ironing clothes. That's my mom right there, in case y'all was wondering. Hey, mama. All right. She had this iron. For years, I've seen her iron this, use it. And it was hot. So always told me, Franzo, don't touch this. It's hot. I'm like, all right, I won't touch it. Day in and day out, Franzo, don't touch this. It's hot. I'm like, all right, I ain't going to touch it. I probably ain't going to touch it. I was a little kid, so of course I didn't say it like that. I don't remember what I said, but I'm just, you understand, all right? So one day she got done ironing and walked away from it. So I ran and plugged it in. You know, I checked to see how hot it was. You know, so you think I'd just go like this. No, I picked that up. I don't know why. I just did, I don't know. And I got a revelation, my friends. That iron was hot.
My God.
Can you imagine something my parents been telling me for years, and they were right? Man, who could imagine? It was hot. I got burnt. There was another story of my friend. He was in a hurry, and his collar was wrinkled. He picked up an iron, the same iron that you use. He had a wrinkled collar. And he threw it. As soon as it touched him, he threw it and flung it across the room. It was hot. He got burnt. Who would have thought that something your parents you told you for years, that it was hot, and yet you picked it up anyways and got burnt? Man, who would have thought that parents, Holy Ghost-filled ministers, different people God chose in your lives, and he used all kinds of people. God used sinners on me. He used kids younger than me. Because the thing of it is that you have to recognize that voice. You can't be stubborn about, oh, I'm further in my walk than you. And a lot, most of what saved me a lot is because, by the grace of God, I recognized that voice. Because a lot of times, it was like some of the worst people you can think of. But it's God's voice coming out of them. And I recognize it. And it's everything in you to hold back, because who that flesh is, but that voice that's coming out, you have to honor that and move forward. It's going to humble you and make you look like a less person, but you got to be mindful of who you are. You're the only Bible these people are ever going to see. But the first iron story was because of curiosity. And a lot of people fall away because of curiosity. The other one was for being impatient. And a lot of people fall away for getting impatient. People are willing to get burnt. People are willing to be seared. 1 Timothy 4:1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. We are in the latter times, and they're departing from the faith. Giving heed to seducing spirits. And they're doing that now. And doctrines of devils. Yes, devils have doctrine. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. This age has made it so easy for us to be caught up, to be insensitive to the Holy Spirit. And it's very easy again. We get so busy, and when we do have free time, we got a smartphone, and we can go anywhere in the world with it. It is so easy to fall in that trap. It's common, and it happens all the time. Are you going to hell to use your smartphone? I hope not, because I got a smartphone right now. So it's depending on how you use it. You have all this stuff given to you. Anything can be a curse. The same God that kicked Satan out of heaven, or Lucifer back then, out of heaven, dwells inside of you. So you can be able to kick him out of his life. So we're going to talk about for a little moment is a seared conscience. As I thought of my ways, yes, she does. Yes, she does. It's the Holy Spirit that's here. What wants to bring the child to the fountain while she's young and her little conscience isn't seared with old rock and roll and true story magazines and the filth of the world. Let her plunge beneath the flood tonight. Lose all the guilty stains. She's thinking on her ways. Must think on your ways. Because the thing about entertainment, whether it's music, Hollywood, fashion, whatever it is, entertainment as a whole, always remember, you're in Satan's Eden. Everything's gunning at you. You claim to have the Holy Ghost. You say you're a Christian. Every gun is pointed at you. And entertainment, I heard this the day before I preached a sermon, it's like hypertension. Y'all know what the nickname for hypertension is? A silent killer. The more you let that linger, the more you feed on that entertainment, I'm not even talking about you watching it. I'm talking about you conforming to it. You're acting like it. And what's aggravating is you come to church and say, I can't conform to the word. I can't change to the word. But it's so you recognize how easy it is. I know you know you can do it. You know people can do it because they conform and change to the things of the world.
Right. Right.
So of course you can change to the things of God. Who's greater, God or Satan?
God.
The silent killer. Know what you put before your eyes. There's hope for you, but when you're so seared that you can't do it, you don't feel condemned, see, then there's something happened to you because the word said you should. I've had a seared conscience. Growing up, I had a seared conscience for a long time. All I did was watch movies, joke with my friends at school, and did everything. Did I keep that from taking me to church? No. Did I stop reading my Bible? No. Because I know I had a seared conscience. I know it's not that. Of course, back then, I was like, oh, Lord, I have a seared conscience. Help me through this, my unbelief. No, I knew I wasn't living right, and I knew there was something in this word that's meant for me. So I have to press through. When I was 10 years old, I was sick and standing outside of church. This old woman came next to me, and she greeted me and whatnot, and she asked me if I was sick. And before I've ever read a Bible, before I ever listened to a message, she laid her hand on me and prayed for me, and right then at that moment, I was healed. My sister was Sister Edna. She home with to be with the Lord. And because of that and other things, just seeing pillars and testimonies and whatnot, I knew there was something more than what this world has to offer me. Even though my conscience was seared, most of my life and growing up in church and song and everything I did, tell you the truth, I never felt anything. All those times where I sung, all the times I praised the Lord, all the times I've done anything for the Lord, I didn't feel anything whatsoever, but I knew who I was. I recognized that he was speaking of me. I recognized every promise in the book was of me. I recognized the reason I wasn't caught up in the filth of the world was because he was keeping me. If I was going based on feelings, I would have fallen away a long time ago. So just because you have a seared conscience, you can be made whole. And as we went earlier, there's a bunch of examples who's aware of God's providence. So you shouldn't let a seared conscience be your excuse. As Brother Outlaw said, that our friendship was never been scared, but the grace of God was kept us through all these years. It sears friendships, brothers and sisters in Christ, Satan coming in from the inside and tearing us apart when we should be together. Every time I go somewhere, every time I go outside of Florida, I was like, man, you guys, y'all better do something like every weekend and doing this and that. Y'all better have a blast. This is awesome. Like, nah, man, they're like 3 hours away. Everybody's in school and working, and it's hard enough to get our own group to get to there and do stuff, much less all of us together. Yeah. But at the same time, the Bible does say so much more as the day approaches. Right. Yes, we're growing older, but all the meetings we've been through together, all the services we've been through together aren't in vain. Seeds were planted, it was watered. Now it's time to do something about it. A lot of people's like, oh, you're a minister now, you need to act accordingly, you need to do this. And I was like, no, I've been fighting since I claimed I had the Holy Ghost. I've been fighting since I started doing communion. It's like from that point on, I knew the battle was on. It doesn't start when supposedly get an office or whatnot. I went to a minister's meeting, and everybody introduces themselves accordingly, and they say what kind of preacher they are, where they're from, and this and that. It got to me. I was like, I just take notes. I pray. Whatever happens, happens. I don't know what to tell you. And I sat down. Oh, I'm from Sarasota. God bless. And sat down. Because it ain't about a title. God called you in a position. Fight. Don't have a complex of having a seared conscience because of a hot iron. When it comes to an iron in your friendship, it should be an iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Satan uses these things to trap us, like all this access to the world. But we have access to friends, to believers, posting encouraging stuff. You need prayer? All you gotta do is just tap on one of them and ask them to pray for you. You don't even know what it is. It's time to pray, pray, pray. Satan used this to kill you. Goliath came to David sword to kill him. That same sword David cut his head off. There's a weapon out to destroy you. Turn that around and use it against them. A lot of times I can't enter in or whatnot. Satan's coming at me. He's attacking me or whatnot. I pray and I pray and I pray. You know what I do? A lot of times I just go through whether the contacts on my phone or whatever social media site and start praying. Every one of them. One by one by one by one by one. Because I'm not the only one going through something. And I may not have be going through something so hard where I don't have enough faith to pray for myself. But I tell you, after going through those, because you love them so much, you've been through battles with them so much for years on end or whatnot, you remember their families, you remember everything they went through, you pray for them. By the time you get a quarter way through, you got so much faith to pray for yourself, you're ready to fight a devil yourself.
All right.
Because who you are doesn't go away by a slip or a fall or a mistake that you're going to. You, that God's providence is always inside of you. It's still in you. But you have to quicken it. The children of disobedience and the children of obedience has nothing in common. One is of the day and light. The other one of night and darkness. This evil age of darkness, nightclubs, dances, yet belong to church. It's okay. And it's people say, well, bless God. I've never been. It's like we have people like, bless God. I've never seen this movie. And they've seen all these other movies, Brother Jack. Like, I'm watching them. And they're like blasting this person. You went out to see such and such. And I'm just watching them. It's like, didn't we go see Transformers like a year ago? I was like, yeah, I don't know. He's acting like that. Holier than thou. And I was like, I don't understand. It's like, I ain't going to say nothing because he's going to put me on blast. Yeah, me neither. I ain't going to say nothing. But it's just, I don't understand, man. But a lot of times people say, rebuking people for going to bowling alleys or whatnot. And the Lord was pointing out to the atmosphere. People, they don't go to bowling alleys. And yet they go to a place I would never dare to say in this sanctuary. But, and they can't make it to the evening service, or they can't even make it to the Sunday service. What was funny was we had, there was this one service, and there was food. They always show up when there's food. And one time we had the food at a different time. And we were just sitting in the parking lot just waiting for them to come because they only show up for the food. It was so funny, man. They came in. God bless you, brother. Nice to meet you. It's like, God bless you, brother. Oh, it's so good to be here. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Amen. Giving testimonies. It's like they never left church. They're talking like they've been here this whole time. It's like, amen. So what time we eat? Oh, we ate like 3 or 4. Like, oh, well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Yeah, service about to start in 20 minutes. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Always asking for prayer, never willing to surrender. They're probably still giving testimonies at work, this and that, but people are dying on the inside. Always put on the front, and it's scary. I don't want to mock like that, but it's scary. I'd hate for anyone to be in that condition. This evil age of darkness, nightclubs, dances, yet belong to church. It's okay with their God. They don't have any condemnation about it. Nothing bothers them. Why, it don't condemn me to cut my hair. It don't condemn me to dress immorally. It don't condemn me to watch this. It don't condemn me to listen to this music. It don't condemn me. It don't condemn me. Don't condemn me. She's got no it don't hurt my conscience. She's got no more conscience than a snake has got hips. And to this day, I've never seen a snake got hips. She don't know what a conscience is. It had been seared so hard till she don't even know what it is. That's right. Conscience so seared, she doesn't even know what God's providence is. I couldn't have that excuse that I don't feel him because I know my conscience was seared. I know I wasn't feeding on the word. I wasn't listening to anything. I wasn't reading anything. Went to church on Wednesday, same old at the house. Sunday, came mostly my house. I couldn't let that be a stone. I couldn't let my own actions. I didn't have the liberty to blame it on the devil because I knew it was me. A lot of times we blame it on him, but it was all me. It's like God spoke to me day in and day out. He told me what to do. And because of my seared conscience, because I willingly chose iniquity, I missed out on a lot of things. I didn't feel them in a lot of ways. Like throughout the, I couldn't enjoy the services like I wanted to because I had a seared conscience. And I was content with that for some reason, for some strange reason. And for years and years and years, I thought I had a seared conscience because I didn't feel them. I constantly never felt them, but it did not stop me for who I am. I kept pressing through and pressing. It's like driving through the rain. You're not wet, but the weather conditions affect you. They slow you down. You can't see in front of you. You're not wet. You're dry, but it still affects you. And you all you got to do is press through and press through until you get to that one exit where it clears out. Because in Florida, it's like this one patch right here. And as soon as you get out. But the thing of it is that you need to die out to yourself. Because that seared conscience, it's not just affecting you. Because I know how it's like to lead a child of God away from this word. And Satan will constantly remind you of it every day, every time you fall. It hurts my heart that I allow Satan to be an instrument for him to lead one of his children away. And I'll never forgive myself for that. But I can't let that hold me back. And that's what a seared conscience can do. It's not just affecting you. It's affecting you, your family, your friends. It's a silent killer that's claiming to be one thing when it's another. But the reason I'm here today is because greater is he that is in me than is in the world. The reason you're here is because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. It's that Easter seal. The word of God was spoken many, many hundreds of years before his coming, of his crucifixion, of his death, of his suffering, and also of his resurrection. But of all days and all the things that Jesus did, and certainly appreciating all of his vindication of God's word and what he did to fulfill it, of healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out devils, preaching the gospel to the poor, fulfilling every word that God said that he would do when he came, and then also suffering for our sins in our stead to be the propitiation for our sins at the cross, where no one else could have done it but him. But above all that, I think Easter sealed the whole thing. Because there had been prophets on the earth who had prophesied before him. There had been prophets on the earth who healed the sick, even raised the dead, and done the same signs that Jesus did. But Easter proved it. That Easter seal that dwells in you is proving it right now that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This is a proving ground, and you're proven every day by the way you live. You want to Satan under your feet, you live a life. You want to defeat the enemy, you live a life. It's not about you shouting and yelling or whatnot and going to your work in schools and saying that you're a Christian and you don't do this, you do that. No, you live a life, and they see that in you. And when I was in school, they mocked me, they ridiculed me and this and that or whatnot because of how I live. 10 years later, who are they asking for prayer? Who are they asking that, can you pray from this? Who are they asking about a rapture? Who's about a heaven? What about a hell? Because he remembered you, remembered me, that Jesus Christ was amongst us. It sealed the word of God forever for the true believer. All gloom and doubt was shattered at that blissful morning. Man had been shut up as it was in the prison house, even to religious people before this day, because they had been seeing great religious moves and moving of the Holy Spirit and so forth. But when a man died, it seemed to settle it. But when this one came and said, I have power to lay my life down, I have power to take it up again, and then go prove what he said to me, that's the seal of it. When something is said, and then it's turned around and proven. There's something in you, something that you never put in there. You never put it in there. It's not you fighting for it. It's not you trying. It's not you holding on. It's something that you couldn't desire to put it in there. To be in there. I couldn't even desire to have him in there. I couldn't desire for that providence being. I couldn't desire for the Holy Ghost to live inside of me. It's something that's contrary to my own nature. Yeah. It's the foreknowledge of God taking place. God's providence taking place inside of you. Musicians come. thing of it is that God's always mindful of us. And a lot of times, we let the trials of this life, that little dot, hinder us from what we're called to do. No matter how small the things may be, no matter how insignificant you think it is, God's always mindful of you. I love to write. I always want to be an author. To this day, I still do. So when it comes to writing, it's nothing hard for me to do. But when it came to my first sermon, it was the first time I ever went to write something and I drew a blank. There was nothing came to my thought, nothing to write down. And it was just so strange to me. But then I get a text from Seth McGrady, who we're good friends, but we've never sent each other messages. This is the first text message I've ever got from him. And it just so happened to me while I was writing my first sermon. He texts me this. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And thank the Lord he sent that for me, because from that gave me the sermon of God's providence. When it comes to accepting God's providence for you, just notice what it speaks of you. Thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called thee from the chief men thereof and said unto thee, thou art my servant, I have chosen thee and not cast thee away. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. When it comes to those demons, those trials, everything that was against you, behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shall not find them, even them that contended with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. And as for you, says this, rejoice in the Lord, is the Amplified of Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always, delight, gladden yourselves in him. Again, I say rejoice. Psalms 37:4. Oh, what am I doing? Yep. Lost the spot again. Let all men know and perceive and recognize your unselfishness. Oh, okay, I see what it was. Rejoice in the Lord always. Delight, gladden yourselves in him. Again, I say rejoice. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Let all men know and perceive and recognize your unselfishness, your considerateness, your forbearing spirit. The Lord is near. He is coming soon. Do not fret or have any anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance and in everything, by prayer and petition and definite requests, ask God for big things. He dwells inside of you. It's not a Santa Claus for adults. He knows what you want. He knows the desires of your heart. Act on it. Know who you are. Know who you come from and act on it. You're not a church member. You're the bride. Amen. With thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. And God's peace, God's providence, shall be yours. That tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ. And so fearing nothing from God and being content with its earthly lot of whatever sort that is, that peace, that providence, which transcends all understanding, shall garrison and mount guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, there be any praise, think on these things. That was written by Paul. Someone who was in prison and may have been put to death. Paul was going around, back when he was Saul, was going around killing our brothers and sisters in Christ. He knew how the routine went. In that cell, I'm sure that Satan brought a lot of mind battles of what was going to happen to him. But through all that, he wrote this for us of God's providence. And then some. Don't let your flesh dictate who you are. None of our brothers and sisters did. Neither should we. Yes, there's twins, but not within us. There's twins when it comes to those Cain and Abel, Jews and Jesus, and all that. But it's not like that group's going to fulfill God's word, and we're just going to sit here and be cannon fodder for Satan. Right. We're all one and the same. They can't be complete without us. Read this before I go to prayer. So I'll stand. This is 2 months before the seals. Lord, search me. Have I become so numb by the things of the world that I'm failing to see this great hour that's passing by? You know that's the way it's always been. It went right through the church, and they never knowed it. That's history. And the reason history repeats itself is because spirits never die. Don't let it pass, friends, to see a word proven over and over. See the word of God manifested and the very person of Jesus Christ come right in among this people and do exactly the way he did before. God's providence is inside you right now. All you have to do is be willing to want it, to water it. Because the Lord wants to give it to you more than you could ever imagine. And it's nothing compared to anything this world has to offer. Bow our hearts. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for all you've done with us, Father, Lord. Thank you for a providence, Lord. For, Father, I want to know what life is if I didn't know what you were. I didn't know what fun was if I didn't know who you were, oh God. All up and down life, oh Lord, I didn't know what my place was in this world, oh Lord, Father, but it was because I wasn't of this world, Lord Jesus. I thank you, Father, for revealing this word to us, oh Father, Lord, for you called us, Lord, to stand for your word, to live your life, Lord, to trust in your providence, Lord. For we know your providence, Father, Lord, we manifest who you are, Lord Jesus Christ. Then we can send ripples through Satan's Eden, Lord, just like, oh Lord, in the beginning, O Lord, when he corrupted a bride, O Lord, and it did that to that Eden, O Lord, call to this day, O Lord, for a bride to rise up and send ripples through Satan's Eden, O Lord, send torment and disaster for Satan, Father, O God. Not glorifying that he's on his feet, O Lord Jesus, but it's just that we know who we are. We know we believe in the providence, we believe in your peace, and believe in your word, Lord Jesus. It's not just a few words, O God. It's not just trying to live with good morals, Lord Jesus. But Lord, it's recognizing who we are. This world offers nostalgia through movies and music that we used to listen to and watch, oh Lord. But Father, your word brings me back to something I've never, don't remember seeing, Lord Jesus. The world offers temporal things, oh Lord, to things that brings a nostalgia that brings a certain remembrance, oh Lord. But what kept me so long in your word, Lord Jesus, that is bringing me of a remembrance of something that I've never even thought I'd known, something before the foundation of the world, before I was ever put on this earth. It's bringing a remembrance of who I am. It's not feeding on some temporal pleasure, oh Lord. It's feeding on an absolute. It's feeding on the beginning and end, Lord. Something eternal. We're eternal beings, Father. And I thank you for that revelation. Lord, I ask you, Lord, to be with everyone here, oh God, to stand firm. You're just around the corner, Lord Jesus. Lord, if it took like 10, 20, 30 more years, oh Lord, you're still saying the same thing, oh Lord Jesus. Everything around us is fulfilling your word, oh Lord. Even sinners are fulfilling your word, oh God. For your word said all this would happen, Lord Jesus. And I thank you for being with us in this time, Father. Just be with everyone in the week, oh Lord. Allow them to be strong, oh Lord. Allow them to be very courageous, Father. Allow them not to look at anyone else, to be their Holy Ghost, oh Lord. Not to hold anyone on the pedestal, Lord, but to trust in you alone, Lord Jesus. That whatever walk they are in life, oh Lord, that they're there for a reason. To be a light to someone, to strengthen one another, to encourage one another. And Lord, I didn't finish my thought, oh Lord, about the young people in Florida, Lord, but allow us, young people in Florida, Lord Jesus, to come together, Lord Jesus. So many times, oh Lord, you have young people, our young people, Lord, go out north, oh Lord, and they'll complain about how we don't do this and won't do that, Lord. But Lord, help them understand, oh Lord Jesus, that it's the young people that put an effort into it, oh Lord. It's the Holy Spirit in them that take a stand and act on it, Lord Jesus. Those things like that don't happen overnight. That us young people have to make an effort, oh Lord. They have to have a desire to do it. Yes, it's against our nature, oh Lord. But we can't depend on it. We can't depend on someone else for our Holy Ghost. But that providence is inside of us. Allows to strengthen us, encourage us, and live what you called us to do, oh Lord. We thank you for the privilege for your word. We thank you for the privilege. We're just humbled to press play, oh Lord. Just turn the page of your word, Father. As Lord, bless the assembly, bless the church, Father. Give everyone traveling mercies, oh Lord. We give you all the honor and glory and praise in everything you do and say, oh Lord. Lord, let us not leave it here, oh God. Allow us to take you with us, Father. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Bless you.
Appreciate our brother. Amen. Give him a hand again. What a wonderful word. God's providence. It's a reminder that there's something in you. There's something in me that's greater. You know, it's just a reminder that if the devil's attacking you, if you're struggling with demons, spirits, all these kind of things, it's not a bad thing. That means you're on the other side. That means they don't have you yet. When you should begin to think, when you should begin to contemplate, as if you're not struggling, as if you're not being attacked in any way. Amen. Something in me. Just turn to someone and say, there's something in you. Amen. And he doesn't just want to be there as a being living in you. He wants to use you. He wants to speak through you. He wants to touch through your hands. He wants to see through your eyes. That's what the Lord desires. He wants to use us. Amen. We're the one where we hinder ourselves. We're scared sometimes. We're fearful sometimes. You know, just allow him to use it. Get to know him. You know, he'll tell you what he wants you to do. Get to know him. He'll tell you where he wants you to go. He'll tell you what he wants you to say. Amen. Don't be afraid. Something in you. It's greater than the devil. It's greater than the world. Amen. Let us bow our heads real quick. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this word. Lord, that our precious brother brought to us, Lord, this evening. Lord, you want to use us, Lord. Lord Jesus, you live in us, oh God. You're the creator, Lord. Living in us as creation, Lord Jesus. Nothing we did to deserve you, oh God. Nothing we did to deserve your presence, your love and kindness this way. Nothing, Lord. In fact, we still do things we shouldn't. Sometimes we don't do, but we still think in ways that we shouldn't, Lord. And Lord, yet you still desire to use us. You still desire to express your attributes through us. Oh Lord, let us remember, oh God, who we were, Lord Jesus. Before we knew you, Lord. And even at that time, Lord, let us remember, Lord, how you were always speaking to us. How you were always telling us things, Lord Jesus. How you were always moving with us, Lord. How you were always ordering our steps, oh God. Even before we recognized you, Lord Jesus. Even, oh God, even now, Lord, we may be Christian, we may be in church, Lord. But Lord, help us, Lord, to surrender ourselves completely to us, Lord. Surrender ourselves completely to you, Lord Jesus. Get our flesh out of the way, oh God, that wants to do something different. Our flesh, Lord, that wants to satisfy itself. Lord, our only satisfaction, Lord, is satisfying you, oh God. Help us, Lord, in this way. Lord, any of those here, oh God, who need to know you, oh Lord, Lord, seek the desire in our heart right now, Lord. You see them, oh God. Just bless them, Lord. Lord, come into their hearts even now, Lord Jesus, as we speak. Fill them, Lord. Those who need a renewal, refill them, oh God, at this very moment, Lord. Refill them, Lord Jesus. Oh God. Greater is he that is in me.